Hi, welcome to Product Mastery Now. This is where we simplify the 7 knowledge areas for product mastery. And these are the knowledge areas that make us successful as product masters. The ones that really know how to accomplish the job of satisfying the customer, creating new value for our customers. They also lead to more influence that we can have in the organization and more success for our organizations. And if you've been listening for a while, this is a little different sort of a podcast because I'm going to talk about kind of the beginning of these 7 knowledge areas and start a series that will dive into each one of these over the next few weeks. But once again, thanks for joining Product Mastery Now. In way of little background, I need to go through some topics with you. And I'm going to have some slides up, some information as we go, which if you want to see that, we do have a YouTube channel. We started this rather recently. And so I would ask you to go there if you want to see some of the information I'm sharing as well, instead of just hearing it. You can simply find that on YouTube at Product Mastery Now. If you search for Product Mastery Now or go to YouTube at Product Mastery Now, that works. And if you subscribe, then you'll get notified of the future episodes as we dive into each one of these 7 knowledge areas that we strive to simplify as part of this podcast. Who is Chad? This is probably a good place to start if you're new to listening or just you've been listening a long time. It's an interview format and I don't talk about my background very much. But fundamentally, what am I? Who am I? I'm a product management professor, also a practitioner, trainer, and the host of this podcast. And interestingly enough, this podcast has been going on since January 2015. This is the longest running weekly podcast for product managers and innovators and leaders. Really glad to be part of that. I've received some recognition along the way for the work I do, but really I've just been in product management, right? I kind of fell into this from my engineering education. The company I joined became a software company along the way, and I was involved in helping to develop products. I've been doing that for about 30 years now. I did go back to do a PhD at one point. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. That was focused on innovation and how do we develop products. And did that with no plans of ever becoming a teacher, but lo and behold, I started teaching as well. I have the pleasure for teaching for Boston University, Colorado State University, Purdue University, a great Canadian school called UFRED, University of Fredericton, all in graduate programs having to do with product management, innovation strategy. So really enjoy that. I've had experience in large companies and small companies, part of 2 startups before, and I'm certified in relevant things for product work, the new product development professional from PD May, the certified innovation leader from AIPMM, and the project management professional because we use project management tools quite a bit from PMI. And while I'm known for the work I do in innovation and the pleasure I have of being on this podcast to help people with product management, I also want to be known for loving my family, my friends, my country, and God. Those are things that are all important to me as well. And if you're a friend, I hope that you recognize that also. So we got the who I am part out of the way. Before I can talk about these 7 elements that are the body of knowledge for product management, it's useful for me to give some background on how I got into product management because those elements are relevant to that. So as I mentioned, my background was electrical engineering, joined a company that I was doing engineering work. We turned into a software company, and I tended to be the person that was working with the customers to understand their problem and then guiding the software team as we developed a solution for that. And even though I'm really high on the introvert scale, for some reason, the way I got wired together, I do really enjoy understanding the problems that customers have and became good at that just through trial and error and practice. So that led to a lot of software project management jobs. And we kept running into a problem, though, that was really fascinating to me. And that was sometimes when we developed a product for a customer, and this was, you know, typically custom projects, custom applications for customers, understanding what they needed, then developing that for them, we did a great job. And then we would apparently do the same sort of thing, the same process, and go through that again, and sometimes miss the mark. And I just got fascinated about that problem. I started, like you probably would too, trying to investigate that more deeply, figure out some better ways we could do things. And we were already doing a lot of things right. Anyone that's been in software for quite a while, you might be familiar with Steve McConnell's book. He was at Microsoft, but he wrote this great book, thick like encyclopedia testament on software development life cycles. And that helped a lot, right? That got me into different ways, rapid prototyping, iterative approaches, different ways of managing software projects. And we were really doing a very much Scrum-like approach, just like many people were at the time, especially if you had read Steve's book, about better ways of developing software than just a, you know, top-down linear waterfall kind of approach. And we did call them sprints. We called them epicycles. Every 2 weeks at our new epicycle. And we were doing a good job, but not always hitting it out of the park for the customer. And as I studied this, a couple things came together. At this point, I was back into a startup. And interestingly enough, the venture capitalist that was the primary person that put together the funding for the startup, there was a displacement, not too surprising, of the CEO. And she came in to take over the organization, the startup. And it intrigued me that while she was doing this, she was also making plans to go back kind of later in life to, not that she was that old, but kind of later in life, to earn a PhD because she wanted to work with troubled teens. And I was already studying aspects of this problem to, you know, how can we do a better job creating products for customers? And that got me interested. Well, if I'm doing the research, maybe I could do a PhD program, get the letters after my name, and maybe that would be helpful in the big picture thing. I'm really glad I went back and did that formally, because fundamentally, you learn how to do research. That's what a PhD is all about. You just learn how to do research, and that was helpful. And earned the PhD, and I did learn some things that were very useful about that. How can we more repeatably do a better job developing products for customers? At the same time, as I got done with that, I started looking around for some, you know, deeper information. I certainly uncovered a lot as I was doing the PhD program, but that's rather a narrow focus, right? The things I was specifically looking at, the selection of journal articles and research I was looking at, wasn't as broad as I would like for it to be in general use. So it dawned on me, as before, when I was doing software project management, I discovered the Project Management Institute. Many of you know about PMI already, and they're the curators of all things project management, and really helpful, but not all the things we need in product management, right? Because in product management, we need to uncover the requirements. We need to understand the customer's problem and, you know, uncover the requirements for that. And the deliverable doesn't just stop when we're done with the project, because then we have go-to-market issues and maintaining it in the marketplace. And there's more that goes on under a product manager's responsibilities than just project management. And it dawned on me that if there's a project management professional organization, I wonder if there's one for product sort of work, right? I had been doing this work for 10 years and I wasn't even aware there was a term called product management. I thought, there might be some professional association for product managers, for people doing product work. And they're the ones, I did a Google search, stumbled on PDMA, this Product Development and Management Association. And they're the ones that told me, yeah, there's this thing called product management. There's a role in that. When we look at some of the historic information, actually, things point back to about 1930s as the original product management work going on at P&G. At the time, they called them brand managers. But there's this long, rich history of product management disciplines. A lot of people think, you know, like maybe the 2000s on, 2010 even, we started learning a lot more about this. There's actually a long, rich history. And PDMA has done a good job of putting that together and making it available to people. So I got involved with a local chapter. Depending where you live, there may be a local chapter today. They kind of get built and go away, and, you know, just depends on the city. But I joined a local chapter in Denver, Colorado, and there were a few of us that kind of showed up at the same time, and the chapter could use improvement and growing, and so we created a new board. I was a board member for the chapter, and as the board members, we kind of, you know, looked at each other and went, you know, what is this association really about? It's great that we get together product people and we have these great discussions and we can help each other and we can learn from each other's experiences. But they talk about this body of knowledge. What is that? And we decided to learn it together to find out. And they have a professional certification called the New Product Development Professional, that MPDP that I did earn. And we all decided to just study together, right? And we created a study group to learn what PDMA said was the body of knowledge for product people. And then we all tested, you know, and thankfully passed the exam, not trivial. And that was really helpful. And the most amazing part of that was, again, I had been doing product work for 10 years, but not, you know, most of us don't have any formal education in this. It's trial and error. It's learning from others that do similar sort of work. It's sharing our hard stories with each other when we go to these meetings and talk to other product people and how they work through some things. And that's a lot of how we learn. But going through a formal framework and learning this body of knowledge, there were just these aha moments for me, right? When the light bulb goes off and you go, oh, that's how those things are connected. I never made that connection before. Oh, or, you know, when you're on a project and you're thinking about all the things that need to get done, like knowing what to focus on at any given time, that's pretty helpful. And I just found that body of knowledge so very useful to me personally. And so did the other people on the board. I created a system to start teaching others that, right? We had the study group already that we did as a board, and we just propagated that. And then over time, I created an online training system to make it easier for product people to learn that body of knowledge. And at this point, thousands of people have gone through that. And PDMA makes this available, you know, in all kinds of ways. But there's been thousands of people that have just gone through the training I provide because I found it so valuable, I wanted to make it available to others as well. And it has been helpful. So at that point in time, when I talk about the body of knowledge, these seven knowledge areas, that was encompassed in a collection of materials that you read and consumed, right? A number of books, a number of articles, number of materials from PDMA. One thing PDMA does, they do publish their own books from time to time, the toolbook series, the handbook series, some other series. And they also do research. Every few years, they do this best practices study of what makes the companies that are rated as being better innovators, doing a better job of creating products, what are they doing? What's in common between them? And obviously, you know, best practices in general, we have to be careful, right? We want to make sure that the best practices fit your company and your situation if you're going to bring them in. But it is very useful to look across multiple industries and go, gosh, all of these high-performing companies, when it comes to being at the top, in the top 25% of their peer group of performing when it comes to creating new products for customers or making existing products better, creating new value for customers, they have things in common. Wow, isn't that interesting? Now, do the things they have in common, do we see that in, like, say, the bottom 25% of that same peer group of companies, right? So within an industry, if we look at the best 25% performers when it comes to product performance, are they doing things that are the same or different than the bottom 25% performing companies? Huh. Turns out that they are, right? That there are different practices in place. And that's really helpful to know, right? So that they do this research periodically. And over time, we went from pointing to a collection of, you know, research articles and findings from research and books that others have made and a collection of articles to read to a book, which they, you know, call basically the body of knowledge for product managers. It's PDMA's body of knowledge. And just like the Project Management Institute, PMI, it's not the entire, you know, body of knowledge. It's basically a guide to the things that we should know as product people, right? To understand what there is. And the first version of that book came out in 2016, and I contributed to that in different ways, contributed some material, did reviews of it and the like. The second version came out, I think, in 2020, so about 4 years later, and I was a reviewer for that book. And then the third book came out just now. So it has come out here early 2024. And I got asked to be part of the author team for that. And really delightful experience. Was glad to do that. And I want to talk through a few specific topics about being an author of the body of knowledge, right? The new edition, the 2024 edition. And specifically address, you know, why I co-authored it. Who is it for, right? Is it for you or not? And why you might want to check it out and look into this body of knowledge more. So let me address each one of those. I'm right now, if you're just listening, I'm showing what the cover looks like on YouTube. Got to give huge credit to Alan Anderson. He was the principal author on this. Him and I worked very closely together. and put this book together. And as the new edition, it's the third edition of The Body Knowledge, we revamped everything. And in the book, we reorganized a few things. We took some information out. We added quite a bit of new information. We added case studies as well. We really worked hard to make the information more understandable, more consumable. And also thanks to Ernie Harris, who was the third author on the book, who gave multiple examples and added to the work here too. It was a good project to be a part of. And so the official title is the Product Development and Management. That's the organization, PDMA. So Product Development and Management, part of their name. Body of Knowledge, a guidebook for product innovation, training, and certification. And Wiley published that for us. And, you know, the question, why did I co-author this thing? I really wanted to kind of, in a sense, improve what I had seen so much, right? I personally valued From the Body of Knowledge. I gave you that story already. That's how I learned about product management disciplines, that there's a wealth of information out there that a lot of us, frankly, aren't aware of. And I wanted to, I've benefited from that body of knowledge a lot. I've helped others with it, and I wanted to continue helping to improve it and make it easier to access for others. Certainly was an opportunity to give back to the product management community. That's why this podcast exists. That's why I started this podcast as well. And yet another opportunity to give back to the product management community and help others. And interestingly, to point out that it was not for book royalties at all. This was a volunteer service project, a gratis project. All sales of the book support PDMA. PDMA is a nonprofit organization. It is a volunteer ran organization. And as such, if you buy the book, which I would encourage you to at least check out, you know, the table of contents if you want to or not. But if you buy it, all proceeds go back to PDMA, right? Wiley takes their cut because they're the publisher, but it supports PDMA. This was just a service project for me, and we worked on it together probably about a year and a half. It was a big effort to put together. And any given week, I wasn't working more than a day a week on it, but it was a considerable task. There were times I thought this might be easier to just write my own book than to do this third edition, but it was really good. Who is it for? This is for product managers, innovators, or leaders like product VPs seeking comprehensive guidance on the required disciplines for increasing the success of product innovation, right? This isn't for people just getting into. Officially, PDMA, I think they say, you know, you want 2 years of experience before you apply for their certification, and this book helps you. You have the knowledge to apply for that certification. But you need some context. For the people I work with, I say, you know, you need to have 3 years of product management work under your belt. That's a good fit. We need some context and some experience. This really is intended. These knowledge areas, they're good for anyone in product work, but they really are intended for the professional product manager or the product leader. And for whatever reason, most of the people I work with have 5 to 10 years of experience. The people that come into my world and say, you know, can you help me get better for like the next step in my career or prepare for this next opportunity? And these are the 7 knowledge areas that we need to have for those things. And often those people have a good bit of experience. And I have worked with people that have 20 plus years of experience, right, that are still needing to put together some of these building blocks, per se, some of the puzzle pieces that might be missing from their experience. And as product people, you know, we all have experience in some elements of these 7 knowledge areas, but this really, the body of knowledge pulls it together well. Okay, who else is it for, right? Certainly those that are planning a new career in product or innovation management. That is how this is often positioned. But like I just said, it's deeper information. And so if you're brand new to it, it's going to be a lot. But it is a good book to give you an idea of the elements to expect. So I sometimes explain these 7 knowledge areas as the all-you-can-eat buffet. You go into the all-you-can-eat food buffet, and you see all the choices laid out in front of you. And you can't possibly, you know, eat everything. There's just too much food to try everything. The body of knowledge, in a sense, is like that. It lays out the things that you need to know about, but there's too many to consume at one time. And if you are new to product management, even though I just said, you know, to really dive into this, I think you need to have 3 years of experience. If you are new in the role, you need to get your hands around the elements to be aware of. it's going to be hard to dive deeply into, say, for example, portfolio management without having more experience, right? There's things that you're going to need experience to have context for understanding what's in the body knowledge. But there's elements of that book that are really helpful. Chapter one, product innovation management, we'll talk about in detail in another episode. We'll give you a good context for, you know, what kind of work needs to be done as a product person. So it certainly is applicable to helping people new. Just know it's going to be a book you want on your bookshelf as a reference to go back to when things come up. And obviously, because PDMA offers a professional certification, this is the book for that. Anyone committed to earning that certification, that's called the New Product Development Professional Certification. New Product Development Professional. That's the name of the certification. This is the book to help earn that. And you know, the question you should be thinking, like, yeah, does the certification really matter? At the state of the maturity we have right now in product management, you're not going to see too many job descriptions that say, yeah, a specific certification is required or preferred for a job. If we were project managers, yeah, that happens a lot. That discipline has grown more rapidly, and those certifications matter for getting roles. And, you know, usually we're interviewing for experience and knowledge. But I'll tell you where the certification helps is being able to tell the story about what was involved in you earning it. And that does help you stand out. That does distinguish yourself. When you tell the story of why you earned it and what was involved in earning it and the things that you learned, really valuable. I do occasionally see a job posting that says MPDP is preferred. And every time I see it, it's because someone has earned it, right? And they're now a product VP and they're writing the job posting. And because of the value they found in that body of knowledge, they're asking, you know, the people they're hiring to have that as well, right? That is something they have recognized as being valuable. So anyone wanting to do certification, good reasons to do it, useful to do. So why might you be interested in this book? Just some things to point out. This is for product professionals who need a proven framework to fill gaps in their knowledge while also deepening their understanding, right? With 10 years of experience, when I came into learning about this body of knowledge, I knew a lot of things that were relevant, but I had gaps, and it filled in those gaps. And frankly, I also knew about some things that I needed to do and how to do them, the process, right? But I didn't have a deep understanding of why to do them, and it filled in those gaps as well. Also, the BOK here provides an established framework for a wide cross-section of product and service industries at various levels of the organization, meaning that this applies across types of industries. Product management is often, depending on what circles you run into, associated with software these days. That's not where it started. A lot of people I work with tend to do hardware and software work together. But other industries as well, right? Building products, food service, beverages, hospitality, right? The practices are across industries, and the body of knowledge, its roots, and the research that PDMA does is across industries as well. So it's really fascinating that you can go from, you know, one industry, be an expert in product work, and then move to a completely different industry and also be an expert. One of my favorite examples of that you may have listened to if you've been a longtime listener is Brett Brinton, I hope I'm remembering his name right, who was a PhD food science chemist for Pepsi, and then went over to become the global director of product innovation for Snap-on Tools. They're making metal tools, right? How does someone from a food science background go into a completely different industry like that? The things that we learn, they're processes, they're practices, they're disciplines. And as product people, we can move between industries if we want to. And the body of knowledge is there to work across those industries. And also, you know, why you might want to check this out, PDMA is a good organization to be aware of and the knowledge that they're bringing, right? Since 1976, they've been curating, you know, finding, recovering the body of knowledge, putting it together in one place and making it available and researching it and furthering to develop it since then. So that's like nearly 50 years right now of product knowledge that has been put together by this for nonprofit, all volunteer organization. for us as product people, right? So it has a long history, really outstanding people involved, and it does cater to, you know, different sort of people in the product work. It got started by a group of academics that wanted to bring their research to practitioners to help companies do a better job creating products. By those practitioners, that which I was for the longest time before I put my professor hat on, right? Practitioners who want to be able to apply better practices to create more value for customers and consequently help their organization grow. And oh, by the way, it kind of helps our career grow in the process as well, right? And so really strong underpinnings of those academics that are doing research today has a strong connection to academics across the world doing research. And I go to an annual conference where there's, you know, so many people showing up literally from across the world presenting their papers on the research they've done recently on product and innovation management. And then the practitioners that can deeply benefit from applying these concepts. And I probably hear most often from product VPs about what they're doing, right? How they're doing that and really helping their organization improve by applying the body of knowledge. So PDMA, great organization to know about. If you want to check this book out, it is on Amazon. The easiest way to find it is just search on PDMA, Body of Knowledge, and it will come up. You'll probably see multiple books from PDMA, and so you want to look for the Body of Knowledge, the 2024 edition, the latest edition there. And you can look through some of the material there on Amazon. So that's all important. One more topic I want to address here is what's next. I'm just starting this series about the seven elements. This is to give you some introduction about how it came about, how it was impactful to me, understanding these, and how this body of knowledge has been developed. And that's what the next episodes will be about. For each one of these seven elements, I'll do an episode diving into that. Those elements are, the first one's called product innovation management. I guess I'll say for the episode details of what that, right? But product innovation management, there's topics in there that really get our hands around the need to create products and at a higher level, how we do that. It frames all the other concepts really well, the other six elements. So, and then we'll move on to strategy, how organizational strategy impacts the product work we do, portfolio management. And as product people, we're often not directly involved in portfolio management, you know, managing a balanced approach to the projects we do. Product VPs may, sometimes it's the senior executive team, right, that is really putting that together. But we do need to be aware about how products get chosen. And so that's pretty important to us. That is part of portfolio management. Then on to process and the different processes that we can use to go from idea to completed product in the marketplace. Then design and development, and really looking at several approaches and tools for how do we design something new or make something existing better, and then get that developed. And some of those tools are bridging that's sometimes the gap that exists between the work we do and the design elements to understand the problem and what we need to create, and the engineering or development aspect to make that real. And tools to help bridge that gap are really helpful. And then market research, fundamentally understanding what our customers need and what their problem is, and then we can do that work to deliver a solution for them. And culture and teams, and we could throw leadership in there as well, but the official title is culture and teams. And that kind of underpins everything else we do, right? What's the culture of the organization, the product teams that we have, what are the options for different team structures, and how do we use culture to, once again, help us create more value for customers, right? Create a desirable workplace to be a part of and working on good projects. So I do, for those interested, you know, I have my professor hat on and really enjoy teaching university courses. I do graduate courses online, and each week I'm doing live lectures, you know, in different online programs for these graduate schools. But I also do training. And as I said, I found so much value from going through the body of knowledge myself many years ago that led to me just helping others and creating a training program for others. And I've evolved that and made that training program better. And I call mine the Rapid Product Mastery, the RPM experience. And it dives in deeply into all seven of those knowledge areas. It is video-based training. There's additional resources provided in those video modules as well. for people wanting to earn that professional certification from PDMA, the new product development professional, the MPDP, there are practice questions involved in the training as well to really let you assess your knowledge and make sure you're ready to take the certification exam. And I provide this for individuals on a self-paced approach. You just sign up for the course and take it at the pace that works for you, or for groups, and really have the pleasure of helping a lot of companies go through this with groups of product managers or sometimes the product teams. Even senior level leaders have gone through this as a group before. So I just find this so helpful. So if you're interested in wanting to dive in this further and see the training I provide, simply go to my website, productmasterynow.com, same name as the podcast, productmasterynow.com/RPM, because I call this the Rapid Product Mastery Experience. And this podcast and the work I do is all about product mastery. How can we do a better job creating products that create higher value for our customers and consequently for our organization? So productmasterynow.com/RPM is a place where you'll find information about that training and anything else that I do as well as at productmasterynow.com. So next episode, we'll dive into the first knowledge area, product innovation management. And I think you'll find as we walk through these episodes together, exploring these seven knowledge areas, that'll be really helpful for you. Once again, there is a YouTube channel now that we have all of our episodes going to starting in 2024. Been doing this podcast, as I said, since 2015. And we have other videos. Maybe we'll add some of those over time, but we're doing a good job of adding the new ones each week. So you'll find the ones since 2024 in there. And sometimes it's just more enjoyable to see the person, right, instead of just listening, see the guest. But if you go there and subscribe to that, then you automatically get notifications when new episodes are out. And I'll be using some of my normal, the slides I use when I teach on these concepts. And so it might be helpful, not just here, but to see also the future episodes. So that could be a good reason to subscribe to the YouTube channel so you'll know when the next one is out. Thank you all so much. As I always say, everyone, keep innovating.
Thank you for listening to Product Mastery Now, where product leaders and managers gain product mastery through practical knowledge, influence, and confidence. By listening, you are becoming a product master, creating products customers love. Find additional resources at productmasterynow.com. Keep innovating.